Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Psalm 124 and 2, just one verse for your hearing. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. I want to talk to you today on the subject, three victories of having God on my side. You may be seated. It's not just a song, and it's not just a cliche, but having God on your side makes a drastic difference, not only in your destiny, but your day-to-day life. What does it mean for us today? The Apostle John tells us that Satan only has three traps for humanity, and all of his devices are a variation of one of these or a combination of those traps. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three traps that are enunciated time and time again in different scenarios in the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that these traps are still with us today. And if you're having trouble, it's because of one of these traps that the devil has been able to arrange in your life. They affect us through temptation, affliction, and the evil attack is the three manifestations of them. The Bible teaches us that we are tested daily. And those tests, when we survive, and not only survive, but we overcome and are victorious in those tests, are the result of our promotion. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. You know, the devil always wants to make us feel like it's only us. Nobody else has ever been tempted like this. Nobody else has ever gone through this. Nobody else has ever experienced us. But Paul said that every temptation that we go through is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, the way that's worded there, if you're not very careful in its wording, you will make an assumption that is absolutely wrong, and that is that temptation is from God. But James, writing, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, wrote this and said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So temptation is not something that God sends us. Where does temptation really come from? It originates from our adversary, the enemy, Satan himself. But it is implanted in our flesh. That's one of the grievous mistakes we make, to assume that our flesh is our friend. Because we feel in it the tangible enjoyments, we assume that it is our friend. But the Bible is doctrinally astute when it tells us that the flesh is our enemy and something that we need to overcome. The Apostle Paul talks about it this way: when I would do good, evil is present. He's talking about there is no good thing in me, he said, but I die daily. He was one of the great victors of the Bible. But he tells us the key to his victory is dying to the flesh daily. But if it were not for the Lord on my side, I would not have any way of escaping. The Bible said with every temptation, the Lord makes a way to escape. Because he is on my side, he turns my temptation into blessing. Every temptation that comes to you has a way of escape. But not only does it have a way of escape, it has the ability to be turned into a blessing. Because he is on my side, I can be blessed even by my temptation. because Jesus Christ is the master over every temptation. The good thing about our God is that He does not reside a long way off, and that He is not foreign to what we are going through, but He robed Himself in flesh and walked upon this earth so He could identify exactly what you are going through, that He might be able to be on your side, and He might be able to be the solace and the answer that you need in whatever temptation it is. Hebrews 4:15 said, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, what is all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." We're talking about a Christ that has come to be on your side in your temptation, and He has gone through that temptation, so it's not foreign to Him. He knows exactly what it is. And so He will make a way of escape every time and also provide a blessing. You see, Jesus Christ lived a life that was free from sin. But in His earthly ministry, He was tempted every day. But the real source of His temptation starts when He is introduced into the ministry. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 4 that He was led in the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This was the earliest days of His ministry, and it is emblematic of our youthful temptation. The Bible said, "Flee youthful lust." But here is Jesus, and He is being tempted by what? In His appetite. He was very hungry. He fasted for 40 days, and now Satan is tempting Him with bread. I can't hardly make it 2 or 3 hours when I get up in the morning without getting an enchilada or something, but 40 days. And Christ would be greatly tempted by His enemy by His appetite. Your appetite is the source of all temptation. When you have an appetite for things. You know, man has dominion over animals, and we're supposed to. But do you realize if it was not for that animal, you would not have any dominion over that animal at all? That's the way you train livestock, whether it's horses or dogs or whatever you train. You train them because of their appetite. If it weren't for that, they would ignore you totally. Those of you that have a cat know that. And so it's by their appetite that you train them. And that's the way you trap wild animals. If it did not have an unbridled appetite, you could never trap an animal. And so Satan uses that very same thing, that unbridled appetite. And so flesh has its unbridled appetite. We desire things that are detrimental and destructive to us, but it is Jesus that is on our side, and He gives us the ability to overcome that appetite that is unbridled. And then you see Jesus Christ being tempted yet again, not just with His appetite, but you see Him taken to the pinnacle of the temple, and there He is being tempted like people are as they seek success in life. That's usually in your middle age, where you're driven to success. You want that promotion, you want that job, you want that money, you want that home, you want that car. And so the devil took Him to that pinnacle of the temple and showed Him everything. And He said, "Now I'm going to give this to you." It was the temptation of the middle age. And from that, He takes Him to a high mountain and shows Him the whole world. And He said, "If you'll bow down, you can have the whole world." What was that? That was the temptation of the latter days, the temptation of wealth and power. As you get older, that's what you look at. I hope I've got enough wealth to see me through my last days. I remember my daddy had a little money saved in his life, but he told me a couple of years before he died, "I hope I don't outlive my money." And all of us that get older have a little concern about that. The last thing you want to do is to be at the mercy of your children. And you will be if you don't have your own money. You know how you You know how you treated them when you gave them that little allowance when they were children? You don't want that situation reversed. For you're an old woman or an old man, and your child is doling out an allowance to you. You want to have enough stacked back for your independent. Where they come and see you, whether they're busy or not, because they're thinking ahead about that inheritance. They hug you whether they want to hug you or not. They're nice to you because they know about that inheritance. They know with one stroke of the pen, you can leave it to a complete stranger. So here we are. Jesus is being tempted, and he's saying, I'll give you the whole world. But Jesus Christ overcame it all. Friend, I don't know what your temptation today is, but I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ has already been there, and he's on your side. And he said, if you will seek me, I will give you power to overcome the temptation that would ultimately destroy you. And not only will you make a way of escape, he said, I'll turn that temptation into a blessing. Everything that happens to you in life, and you've got to learn to see it this way, is a potential blessing. Instead of saying, why did this happen to me? You've got to say, now how is the Lord going to turn this into a blessing in my life? And when you get that attitude, you become a spontaneous praiser. Instead of cursing what's happening, you're saying, I'm going to see how the Lord is going to make a way of escape and how this is going to bless me. The second area that the devil likes to talk about and likes to attack us, the Bible said this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Afflictions are going to happen to you. In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're going to be afflicted. You say, well, I'm just going to cruise through life and I'll never have any affliction. You're absolutely wrong. The devil's going to see to it that you're going to be afflicted in so many different ways. In ways about your health, in ways about your mind, in ways about your family, in ways about your money. The devil's going to see that there are many afflictions. But you know what the Bible said when we talk about Isaiah 53:4? That's the messianic prophecy where Jesus is going to die for our sins. And we talk about that. But there's one verse that I find very, very revealing. The Bible said in Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus Christ knows what it is to be afflicted. And he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he said, I will deliver you out of them all. Friend, it's more than a cliche. I want to tell you the Lord's on my side. And no matter what kind of temptation comes into my flesh, the Lord is going to make a way. There's always a way for me to get out. There's not a trap the devil can set that I cannot get out. The Lord always makes a way out of my temptation. And the second thing, when I'm afflicted, no matter what it is, I can be afflicted in my mind, in my spirit, in my body, in my finance, no matter what it is. Praise God, the Lord knows what it is to be afflicted. And he said, I promise you this, because I'm on your side, I will deliver you out of them all. Ladies and gentlemen, it comes down to this. Do you trust the Lord in every situation? Do you think there's anything that's out of his control? Is there anything too hard for God? You said the temptation is more than I can bear. No, it's not. The Bible said it's not. God will make a way of escape out of that temptation. You say this affliction is just too great. No, it's not. Because the Lord is on your side. The Lord said, I will deliver you out of them all. Friend, this is a very simple thing, this gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I'm fearful lest we corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ. You just got to get up every morning making your confession, saying, I know the Lord's on my side. It doesn't matter what the first phone call is. It doesn't matter what the first trial is. You got to get up saying, the Lord is on my side. When the doctor looks at you and gives you a bad report, the Lord is on my side. When the bank calls you and says you're overdrawn, the Lord is on my side. When the boss gives you a negative report and begins to chide you for somebody else's mistake, you say, the Lord is on my side. The Lord's going to make a way. The Lord is going to deliver me. And third, I particularly like this. Genesis 50 and 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Not only does the Lord make a way of escape because he's on my side, not only does the Lord deliver me out of all of my affliction, when the devil comes in with an evil attack, and he will, I'm just like Joseph. It might look like it's bad, but God's going to turn this attack, this evil attack, for my good. He's going to take me from the prince to the palace, from the prison to the palace, from convict to ruler of Egypt. God always turns it around. And so no matter how bad it looks, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the captain of turning evil to good. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:8, when none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It looked like a crucifixion, but it was a coronation. It looked like it was the end, but it was the beginning. I'm telling you, somebody in this building right now has had an evil attack this week from the devil, but it's going to be the greatest victory of your life. Just realize the Lord is on your side. He'll make a way of escape when you are tempted. He will deliver you when you are attacked. And when the devil comes in like a flood, praise God, the Lord's going to turn that. What, just not to get you through, but it's going to be your greatest mountain experience, your greatest victory, your greatest overcoming. Praise God. You remember Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail? Why were they there? They weren't there for speeding tickets. They weren't there because they were selling drugs. They weren't there because they accosted somebody. They were there because there was a pitiful little girl that was demon-possessed, and she was being used by evil men to make money. And they cast the devil out of that little girl, and for their good works, they were put deep into the Philippian jail. It was an orchestrated evil attack of the devil against Paul and Silas. From the carnal mind, from the carnal observation, from what man would say, you said, look what the devil has done. Isn't that a shame? Oh, no, it's not a shame at all, because the Lord is a master at taking that evil attack and turned around. You have to realize they're there and they don't have a congregation. They're there to start a church with no congregation. They're there to start a church with no building. And so the devil's got them inside that jail. Now they've got a building. It's a big prison. Now they've got a congregation. The devil doesn't know what he's doing. The devil's not very smart, or he would have not got kicked out of heaven. The devil's not very smart, or he would not lose every day. He just thinks he is. His little program is so small, it's the same little thing over and over and over again. And so in that Philippian jail, Paul and Silas recognized, we might be in jail, but the Lord is on our side. That's the greatest revelation you can possibly have in this world, to realize no matter what you're going through, the Lord is on my side. I might be tempted, but the Lord is on my side. I might be afflicted, but the Lord is on my side. I might be in prison because of an evil attack of the devil, but the Lord is on my side. What does it matter who is against you when the Lord is on your side? What does it matter what the circumstances are. If the Lord is on your side, it simply does not matter, because God is greater than all evil men. God is greater than the devil. God is greater than poverty. God is greater than sickness. God is greater than attack. God is greater than loneliness. God is greater than sickness. God is greater than pain. The Lord is on my side. But not many of us have that assurance so deeply and indelibly embedded in our brain. The moment we find ourselves in jail, we say, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has left us. He's given us a promise, ladies and gentlemen. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If Jesus is your Lord, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you in every storm. He will be with you in every temptation. He will be with you in every affliction. He will be with you in every trial. He will be with you in every attack. But the key is for you to acknowledge that the Lord has not left me. The Lord is on my side. The way you do that, the greatest acknowledgement of the Lord being on your side, is to praise Him. Because if you think God is gone, you're not going to praise Him. If you think the Lord is AWOL, you're not going to praise Him. But if you really believe the Lord is an ever-present help in the time of trouble, you're not going to lose your song in a weary land. You're not going to lose your praise in a strange place. No matter what kind of temptation the adversary brings, no matter what the affliction is, no matter how evil the attack is, you're going to do exactly what Paul and Silas did. With their hands in stocks and their feet in shackles and deep in solitary confinement, the Bible said at the midnight hour. That's important at the midnight hour, at the apex, at the darkest moment, at the time of greatest trouble, they brought forth their greatest praise. Ladies and gentlemen, you always got to have something left. As I said, you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. You got to realize this praise was designed just for this. You ought to have a praise that you have perfected. The Bible said praise is perfected in the mouths of babes. You see, you need to perfect the praise when you don't need it. Praise God in your bedroom. Praise God at home. Praise God when you're not under attack. Praise God when you're not afflicted. Praise God when you're not tempted. Just praise the Lord because you like to praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And then at that moment of time, at that midnight hour, when you're deep in the devil's prison and he thinks he's got you, you pull out your well-harnessed, well-varnished, well-sharpened praise, and you begin to praise the Lord. Why? Because you have this consolation. The Lord is on my side. It don't matter what you say, the Lord is on my side. It don't matter what they say, the Lord is on my side. It don't matter what the devil does, the Lord is on my side. It doesn't matter what the doctor says, the Lord is on my side. Can you give God some praise in this house? Oh, hallelujah. Nobody but the Lord expected the reaction of Paul and Silas. The devil was blindsided. The demons couldn't believe it. The prisoners never saw it coming. But at the midnight hour, they knew the Lord was still on their side. They began to sing praises to the Lord at the midnight hour. Friend, when you begin to sing praises at the midnight hour, it changes the elements of the universe. There's nothing more powerful than the redeemed of the Lord saying so. There's nothing more power than a child of God acknowledging the Lord is still on my side. Don't matter what happened, the Lord is still on my side. He'll turn it around. The devil meant it for evil, but the Lord meant it for good. They put them in jail. Who needs a revival more than prisoners? Who needs Jesus more than the people in the Philippian jail? The devil put them there, but that's right where God wanted them, because that's where God's going to show up and show out. You said, why am I here? Because God has chosen that platform to exalt you. And so don't whine and don't curse, but bless ye the Lord and say, the Lord knows what he is doing. He has saw the end from the beginning, and I know the Lord is on my side. They begin to hum just a little. And when they hummed a little bit, the closest rat moved away. Lift their voice a little bit, and the cockroaches begin to scurry away. Friend, I know you've got a praise on your heart, but you do need to turn up the intensity just a little bit. You need to increase the volume a little bit, where he said the noise, the loud praise, the loud sounding cymbals. There comes a time when praise can't be in your heart. It has to be on your lips. There's a time where the dance can't be just a little thing in your heart feeling good. It's got to get in your feet. It's got to get all over you. As they begin to sing, they felt a little courage. And when you feel courage, you're encouraged. And they sang a little louder. And the louder they sang, the farther away the cockroaches and the rats fled. And suddenly somebody in the first cell said, what is that noise? Said, I think it's those two guys down there in solitary confinement. And they begin to sing louder. And all the prisoners, they silenced their cursing and they attuned an ear to what they heard. They'd never heard a sound like that in that Philippian jail. Never heard it before. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a world that has never heard the true praise of the church. We look to the White House, we look to the schoolhouse, and we think we're going to find an answer in legislation. I'll tell you where the answer is. It's in a group of people that will confess, the Lord is on my side. I've been tempted, and he made a way. I've been afflicted, praise God, and he delivered me. And the Lord has attacked, the devil has attacked me with evil, but the Lord has turned it to good. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give God a praise at my midnight hour. At the worst possible situation, I'm going to say the Lord is great and greatly to praise. I'm going to say he's a good God all the time. I'm going to say he's my Alpha and he's my Omega. I'm going to say he's never left me and has never forsaken me. He's my way maker, he's my healer, and he's in this house. Can you stand on your feet right now and give the Lord a big praise? Praise God, praise God. What's amazing is that their praise affected everything. It affected the very mortar in the jailhouse. It affected the very hinges on the door. It affected the vermin that was in that filthy prison. It affected the angels that looked down from heaven. It affected the demons that walked the corridors at that prison. It affected the jailkeeper. It affected everything, but most of all, the Lord said, here I am, right by your side. I've never been any farther away than a handshake. I've never been any farther away than a praise. I've never been any farther away than a hallelujah. I've never been any farther away than a thank you, Jesus. I've never been any farther away than a song. I'm telling somebody here today that's been tempted, that's been afflicted, that's been attacked, that the Lord is on your side. And if you'll just begin to praise him, he's going to show up and show out in your behalf, and everything's going to turn around. Hallelujah! The result of their imprisonment is one of the greatest revivals of the New Testament. We have a whole book written to those people. It's called the Book of Philippians, simply because somebody that had been tempted and afflicted and attacked said, the Lord is on my side. He'll make a way. He'll deliver me. And what the devil means for evil, the Lord will turn to good. If you're being tempted today, I want you to walk down this aisle, because the Lord is going to make a way. If you are being afflicted today, I want you to walk down this aisle because the Lord is going to deliver you. If you're being attacked,